August. Lowell, Sussex, New Brunswick.
Was on my way out of Fundy National, trying to hitchhike, but took a while before anyone picked me up. I walked past this campground called Wolf Lake, and I don't know why, but all of a sudden I started getting these weird ideas. I started thinking about wolves. I just had this urge to write everything down, get everything on paper. All these ideas swirling together in my brain about these imaginary wolves. So I sat down on this big rock by the road, and I started writing about this family of wolves. This is what I wrote. One night, our pack wandered into a derelict plot. Farmland long forgotten and overrun with weeds. Our eyes gleamed in the night. We found a way into the house through a gap in a boarded-up window. On the wooden floor of a ghost kitchen, we settled in. Cabo's stomach was getting worse. He whimpered as he slept. Outside, in the darkness, crickets and frogs and owls sang songs to each other. I couldn't stop thinking about my mother and the blood on her coat when we found her the day after the Desperate Ones attacked. That's all I got so far. I'm not sure what to do with it, but it's a fun distraction. Eventually, this old Acadian couple picked me up and gave me a ride. They dropped me off at the Tim Hortons here in Sussex. I'm drinking a coffee right now, recording this. Sussex looks like it's all farmland and farmers and farms. Cows. A lot of cows. Rolling hills and tractors and pickup trucks. But I bet there's a lot more to it than that. Let's go find some noise.
Mary, 72, Sussex, New Brunswick.
I'm 72, and my lord, I still get spooked from time to time. Just this past weekend, in fact. My daughter and her friend Lisa took me out to dinner, and they took me out to the country to this German food hall, out in the sticks. It's out in the middle of nowhere. And you'd think those Germans were out of their minds building a restaurant out in the middle of nowhere like that. But it's where their farm is, see. They raise all of the animals themselves and butcher the meat themselves. They have their own butchery on the farm also. So it makes sense in that regard. But you wonder how anyone ever manages to find their way out there. But the trick is, their food is that good. Those Germans are good cooks. I had a sausage out there, and my lord, that sausage was bigger than my head. And good? They make good food in their restaurant, those Germans. But it's out in the middle of nowhere. It's a wonder anyone can ever find the place. You have to drive out to the middle of nowhere, and then you turn left and keep going. Out into the real middle of nowhere. Nothing but forest and farmland and covered bridges. But their food is so good. It's worth it. It takes a while to get out there, but it's worth it. But I'm 72 years young, and that doesn't seem to make any difference. I still can get spooked from time to time. My daughter and her friend Lisa was driving. They're one of those forward... No, what's the word? Progressive couples. I'm very proud. They were up visiting me. They're from Nova Scotia. They were one of the first progressive couples in Nova Scotia. Because they're married, you see. I'm very proud. You see, that wasn't an option when I was a girl. We didn't have that option. You waited for some boy to ask you to dance at the community hall, and then you pretty much had your whole life mapped out for you after that point. I'm not saying my daughter has it easier than that, but it wasn't even an option when I was a girl. And so I was in the car, and my daughter was in the car, and Lisa, her wife, was driving, out into the middle of nowhere, looking for this German food hall. And after a while, we'd been driving for a long time, and it didn't seem like we were getting anywhere at all, except lost. Then we started driving past a certain series of fields. And the birds in these fields, crows. Each field we passed had these murders in them, large groups of them. And as we went along, passing these fields, I swear, my lord, each field we passed, the crows kept getting bigger. Bigger and bigger each field we passed. By the time we had passed 5 or so fields, the crows, I swear, were so big they could rival an eagle. My lord, they kept getting bigger and bigger, and we kept driving further and further out into the middle of nowhere. Gave me the creeps. There's not a lot of me left, my lord. I'm so little. But these birds started giving me the creeps because I felt like we were somehow getting lost, even though we knew where we were going. Those Germans, they just live so far out there. And I'm so little. I got the goosebumps, and there's not very much of me, so when I get the goosebumps, I get the shivers, too, and I almost freeze to death when that happens. I get cold, I swear. I almost froze to death, I got so spooked. Those crows. Certainly well fed. I don't know why those Germans have to live all the way out in the middle of nowhere. But the food hall was full. We had to park on the road because their parking lot was full. And we had Black Forest cake for dessert. It was some good. When Lisa drove us back home here to Sussex, it was already dark out, so I couldn't have seen those crows again if I had wanted to. And you'd think that'd put me at ease, except it didn't, because I knew those big things were still out there somewhere, in the dark, black feathers fading into the night, sticking their ugly beaks into garbage and roadkill corpses. Maybe they sleep. Now, I don't dislike crows. My lord, they shouldn't ever be allowed to get so big as eagles. It's just not natural.
Evan, 43, St. John, New Brunswick.
I had $5 to my name. 5 entire dollars. But we needed milk. So I went to the fucking convenience store, and I bought some fucking milk. And the fucking milk cost $2.60 fucking cents. Being unemployed ain't fucking easy. It ain't fucking easy. All these assholes with jobs who go around talking like fucking job narcs. Oh, that guy's drawing EI. How come he's drawing fucking EI, and I gotta work for a living? He doesn't deserve EI. What's he doing? Sitting on his ass at home and getting paid for it from the taxes they take out of me, and I gotta work? Fucking job narcs. Pretty much everybody. EI don't get you much. It's enough to get by, but barely. FYI. If you still want to live, you gotta look for under-the-table stuff to supplement the fucking EI. Everyone knows that. And those fucking job narcs will fucking tattle on you when they see you working and drawing EI, so watch out for them. Except them are everybody. So watch out for everybody, brother. Watch out for everybody. Had $5 to my name. Milk costs $2.65, and I'm walking home with the milk. Didn't take it in a bag because bags are plastic, and I give a shit about the environment, so I'm just holding the carton in my hand. Got my left hand holding the carton, swinging back and forth because of my natural fucking gait. Meanwhile, on the home front, Lila's losing her sweet fucking shit because we're paying rent, but just barely. Never mind the fucking phone bill, which is about to hit us. Never mind the power bill. Never mind the MasterCard, student loan, gym membership dues. $5 to my name. And the milk is swinging in my hand because of my natural gait. And I don't know what I was thinking because the carton, it was a bit wet with the moisture from being in the shitty convenience store fridge. I dropped the fucking milk. More like it flew right out of my fucking hand because of my natural gait. Of course it explodes on the sidewalk in front of me. Of course it fucking explodes. Like everything I ever had fucking explodes. Or I drop it. Or some bullshit. Stood there for a full minute, just staring it. the carton exploded on the sidewalk. Big white puddle. Big white fucking mess. Turn around, walk back to the convenience store. I walk in fast, stride briskly to the shitty glass door fridge in the back. Grab another milk carton, wet with condensation. Get up to the counter, put the change left in my pocket down on the counter quick, and I make to, like, walk out of the place before the guy can count it. "Whoa, whoa, whoa," he says. The fucking kid. "Whoa, whoa, whoa," he says, just like that. "That's not enough." And I stop. And I turn. And I look at him. Kid's like maybe 19 years old. And he has glasses. Skinny as hell. Like a toothpick. But I can see it in his eyes. I can see it in his eyes. He doesn't know about under-the-table life stuff yet. He's too young. He can't see the complexities of a situation like this. He can't. And I feel the bile rising in my throat. I can feel the hate and violence inside me. The fear and hate and violence in my body about to come out. And so I open my mouth and I start begging the kid. I start crying, sorta. Weeping, almost. I address the kid as sir, even though I must be 15 years older than him. "Oh, sir, I'm really sorry, but please let me have the milk. I dropped the last carton on the street by accident, and Lila really needs her milk for her cereal, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. Sir, please just let me have the milk, sir. I won't bother you ever again. I promise, I'm losing it, right? In front of this kid. He didn't know what hit him. He was just kind of stunned, staring at me. So I turned and ran. I ran out of the store and down the street. I kept running until I found this set of bushes, and I crawled in under them, and I hid. I hid in some bushes, and I couldn't stop crying. I cried, and I cried. For about 20 minutes. Like I was 10 years old or something. I was nearly fucking hyperventilating from it. When I got home, I told Lila I was through being in a relationship with her. Then I got to watch her cry for a while. Made me feel better.
Murray, 64, Blacks Harbor, New Brunswick.
Wife and I are from Maine. Yeah. We go on vacation every year in Canada, usually out west. We scoot up through Montreal and head west. But this year, we figured we'd try the Maritimes for a change. Yeah. Something different for a change. It gets awful flat out west anyway, before you hit the Rockies. I've seen enough prairie dogs and never-ending horizon, that's for sure. We don't like it places where it gets too hot. Althea, she never wants to go to Florida. We tried going south once, got as far as New York, and even New York was too hot for us. It's hot in New York. You might not believe, but it's hot in New York. Yeah. Too hot for the two of us. We like cooler things than that. Althea, she got the hot flashes, yeah. No going south now, that's for certain. Not with the hot flashes. We heard Graham and Anne was real pretty in the summer, and that's why we came. I'm retired. Just retired, yeah. Had a garage in Freeport, and we did a lot of business. A lot of tourists go to Freeport for L.L. Bean and all the shopping and everything, and nice thing about being a mechanic in a tourist town, you get to work on a lot of different vehicles. Yeah. I worked on every make and model you can imagine. Never a Torino, though. Always wanted to get under a Torino. Never got to do that. Kind of odd, now that I think about that. Yeah. There's apparently whales you can see on the way over sometimes, if you're lucky. On the crossing to the island, I think the humpback whales. Not 100% on that, but I think so. Anyways, we've seen whales before out in British Columbia, but those were orcas, not humpbacks. Orcas are pretty enough, though. Yeah. Apparently they make good dulse over there, too, in Graminan. Yeah, good dulse. You ever tried dulse? It's good. Salty. Yummy. Yeah. It's seaweed. They take seaweed off the rocks. They collect the stuff. And then they take it and they dry it out, and then they sell it like that. And you can get it by it softer or crispy. I like the crispy stuff myself, the crispy dulse. Yeah. People will eat anything, I guess. I love the stuff. It's just seaweed. Yeah. A few years ago, Althea, she got me to go vegetarian with her. Let me tell you, I think she may have saved my life. I feel a lot better now. We don't eat anything except vegetables and fish. And I don't miss being a carnivore one bit. Let me tell you. Yeah. Maybe bacon. Bacon was pretty good, but did you know they've come up with this kind of dulse that tastes exactly like bacon? So if you're a vegetarian and you miss the flavor of bacon, you can get that flavor but still stay a vegetarian. It was big news last year or the year before. It was all on the news stations, yeah? The stuff over in Graminan, it's not the bacon-flavored stuff, but it's still good. Better than most of the dulse you'll ever try. Best in the world, some say. Yeah. Quite the scenery in Graminan, apparently. But I'm looking forward to the dulse. Yeah. What were we talking about again? Althea. Whales. Dulse. So that ferry will be here in another hour. Apparently, it's free to take the ferry over. Free to get over to the island, but they charge you if you want to come back. Something like $40 to come back. But to get onto the island, it's free. Yeah. Waiting for a boat. Yeah. Kind of exciting, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Kind of exciting.
Kit, 32, Castalia, New Brunswick.
There aren't too many people trying to get on a lobster boat. I mean, that aren't from the island here. If you live here, yeah, it's what you do. Unless you go to college or university or something. It can be fun. There are moments, like right now. See that pink glow of the sun that's about to rise over the horizon there? Boys in the back, fixing the bait, but I get to take us out. This part, it's almost the best part. The best part is when you get back into port, of course. But this part, the taking us out part, that's the second best part. The rest of the day is just a haul. It's just business. Taking up traps, collecting your interest, every lobster a few more bucks. So you took your gravel, I hope. This is your first time out on one of these. Hopefully you brought extra. This stuff wears off after a few hours. You gotta keep popping them if you got land legs. Not everyone does that well where we're going, the gray zone. They call it the gray zone because it's international waters. Different rules apply. That's why we can set our traps there right now. I got a good head for it. My dad has a boat, but he doesn't have the head for it that I do. And I could tell that back when I was a kid. My dad's a good businessman, natural at the social aspect of it. See, I wasn't good at the business part of it. That's why I went to university to get my business degree, and when I got that, I came back. Not to go working on his boat, but to start up my own. Now I got Magnus and Harold here with me, and their take home is better than any of the guys on Dad's crew because I know how to read a lobster. You can't think about the water when you're after lobster, right? Lobster, they travel like a herd. Like a ground animal, you know? They're stampeding across the geography of the ocean floor. They're not swimming around like fish. That's why you gotta think about the geography when you're a lobster fisherman. You gotta think about the landscape under the water. Forget about the water itself and think about the landscape underneath it. So out here, where we got our traps, under the water, the lobster, they're gonna be heading in this direction, right? As per their regular migration. And I know that there are mountains under the water here and there. So those lobster, the herd of lobster, naturally they're going to end up passing through the valley between those two mountains. Because they're going in that direction, and there's these two mountains, I mean, it's part of its common sense, right? So we place our traps in the bottleneck of the valley, and when we pull them up, our traps are pretty consistently full. Because we put them down in high traffic areas, or what I know will become high traffic areas, because I'm paying attention to the geography, not the water. You want a testament to my methods? You go back and ask Magnus and Harold. Harold just bought a new pickup. Magnus just bought a new Xbox, I guess. He's a fucking nerd. You're lucky because today's so calm. I see you turning green now because that gravel is wearing off, but take my word for it, this is as good as it gets. The other day, the water was rough. We were pushing it, trying to get as much done as possible. Sometimes we get like that. Sometimes we're fucking fearless out there. It's stupid. We rode here in the gray zone and it started getting dark. Dark is, well, goes from clear to dark real quick. And when it's dark out here, it's fucking dark. Gotta rely on the equipment, basically. That's all you got, you know? There was this flash of light. Kind of a pulsing flash of light that started up over the water. Couldn't have been more than a kilometer away from us. And it was not something any of us had seen before, you know? Harold's got a video of it on his cell phone. This weird purple, kind of like this oval throbbing sphere of light. Less than a kilometer away, really. And at first, we thought it must have been the Americans with some kind of new kind of spotlight or beacon or something, but then the light started moving. It seemed to be coming straight at us, this purple glowing frog. Kept getting bigger and bigger. I hollered at Magnus to get the seal rifle from below, and he went down to get it, and this light kept coming and getting bigger and bigger, and it's coming straight at us, and then it's gone. I mean, it just stopped being. Me and Harold were staring into the dark again. Magnus come back up with the seal rifle, but I mean, light was gone, right? My thoughts are, must have been the Americans somehow. Like, maybe not fishermen? Maybe the military. Some kind of American military technology. Maybe they're trying out some new kind of drone or something. Because I've never seen anything like that before. I've been out in the water my entire life. I told my dad about it, but he thinks I'm making it up, trying to trick him somehow or give him the willies. He's kind of never trusted me since I started having my own boat. That's his shit. Nothing to do with me. That's the thing, right? I know I smoke weed, but I smoke weed because I like weed. I know myself. I'm smart. I get what's going on around me. I know geography, and I know business, and I know fishing. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, and what we saw the other night, that had no place in any of it. What we saw the other night, that was something that didn't belong. It was real. But it didn't belong. I can't figure it out. It hasn't affected our luck with lobster. Oh, fuck, we had a great haul on Wednesday. Doesn't incline me to stay out here any longer than we have to anymore either.
Valerie, 45, St. George, New Brunswick.
Not that much here, is there? Is that what you're thinking? You're one hard-up looking kid. Anyone ever tell you that? When was the last time you showered? Look at you turning beet red, embarrassed. So, you're coming here all the way from Halifax. And you're recording people. Like some kind of hobby journalist. One of those journalists taking a year off from all of your magazine writing to focus on one of those feel-good type of books you've always wanted to write. One of those books you read where people talk about their problems, and you collect them all. And then the people reading the book, they see all of these other people with problems just like theirs, and all of a sudden they don't feel so alone because, holy shit, check out all of these people with problems just like mine. One of those books that don't ever work. Not unless the person reading it is a wingnut in the first place. That's what you're up to, isn't it? Name's Valerie Green. I'm 45. I'm a pizzeria worker here in the unbelievably beautiful St. George, New Brunswick. Isn't it beautiful here? It's so beautiful here. Gag me with a fork, it's so beautiful here. Look at the sea. Look at the water. Look at the trees. Water and trees and gag me with a fork. I'm here because I can't be anywhere else. Where the heck would I go? St. John? The place stinks. Worse than you, even. Hold up now, is that a smirk? You smirking at me? You're all gumballs and rose petals because you're on the road. Some kind of great adventure. But let me tell you, the adventure you're on, it's all in your head. It's not real. It's not even an adventure. You're just some kid scruffing it the hard way, on foot, across a destitute region of a penniless province full of people with good intentions and zero common sense. Everyone should move out west. We should all head west. I should move out west, right? Except I get out there and have to work at some other shitty pizzeria, and instead of dealing with New Brunswickers, I'd be dealing with Albertans, who are even bigger dinks than New Brunswickers, and even though I'd be making more money, sure, everything costs more out there, so it all evens out. So what's the big effing deal? I wouldn't get along with anyone out there. I mean, I don't get along with anybody here, but at least the people here are kind enough to put up with me. I used to be kind, but, and I'm not going to get into the why about that. That part of me died when I was a little kid. Everything you see around you, that's all there really is. Any adventure you perceive exists in your head and in your head only. And everywhere else, it's the same thing too. Every day, everywhere. Nothing changes. And this is it. All you can do is take stock. Don't invest. Just take stock. Don't build. Rinse and repeat this about 10 gazillion times and you might get lucky and find yourself dead of natural causes. If not, there's always the lovely cancer. The charm of dementia. There's always the Parkinson's. My husband suffered. When I was a kid, my parents suffered. I'm not going to get into all of that. Not for your hopeful little book you're writing, anyway. You badgered me with your flattery. This is fitting punishment for you. The road ahead of you is nothing but a road. Asphalt and tar. Black. Death. Your adventure will never exist.
Kathleen, 47, St. Stephen, New Brunswick.
That's me for you. In a nutshell, I'm a nutcase. Nutcase in a nutshell. I keep buying these stupid tickets. I keep hoping God will send me a winner, but he never does. He throws Kathleen to the wilderness as per usual. I must have bought over 1,000 lotto tickets in my lifetime. I bought so many lotto tickets that by now I'd probably be a millionaire if I had just taken the money I spent on all those tickets and invested it. I could probably be living off the interest of all that money I would have saved or made off investing it. But I keep buying them. I keep doing it. And I know I'm doing it to myself. I know I'm keeping myself in the hole like this. I know better, but I keep doing it. And I know that. At least I know that about myself, right? I even quit smoking a few years back. I quit smoking, and I haven't been a drinker since my youth. Could quit drinking and even smoking, but I continue to buy these stupid lotto tickets. Keep waiting for the big one. Keep waiting for that big thing that's gonna swoop down and pick me up like the rapture. I think that maybe I secretly, but not so secretly, hate my life, or something like that. There's gotta be a reason. If I ever won the lottery, I know exactly what I would do with it, too. The money? I wouldn't give it to charity. I wouldn't give half of it to my family or anything like that. I'd put it right in the bank and live off the interest. I wouldn't be miserly, though. If anyone asked me for $100 here or there, I'd give it to them. But you won't catch me throwing it away. I've been living hand to mouth too long now. If I ever win the stupid thing, I won't be giving it all away. Maybe that sounds rude or mean, but I'm telling you, I'm not a rude or mean person. I've just been in need of money for so long. I don't plan on screwing myself over if I ever get myself out of this situation. You hear me? I wouldn't buy a fancy car. I wouldn't buy fancy clothes. I'd pay my debts, and I'd be here for people if they needed me. And that is it. I'd be a rock for people. If someone needed something, they could come to me, and I'd help them. And that'd be it. I'd be something solid in this ever-shifting world. And I'd get rid of my cell phone and off of the Facebook, too. Because, really, who needs any of that foolishness when you're good enough on your own? I'd keep using email and talking to people on the street, but that'd be it. I wouldn't buy a new car, but I'd fix up my Corolla. I'd get all the parts on it replaced and make sure that it'd last forever. Right now, the under panels have started to rust, and I might have to get rid of it. But I don't want to get rid of it. It's always been a good car. Served me well. I don't have the money to get the bodywork done on her, but I don't want to get rid of her either. Even though she'll never pass inspection as it is. So, if I win the lotto this week, I'll make sure to fix her up, my Corolla. I think that's what's most alluring than anything else, you hear me? About the lotto. It isn't the money part about the lotto that everyone wants. It's the idea that life will just, all of a sudden, you win the lotto, life becomes solid. You got nothing to worry about. You don't have to worry about your car falling apart, about people you care about running into debt or bankruptcy or getting sick or senile or... Everyone thinks that winning the lotto is going to turn them into rocks. They'd be something solid in this ever-shifting world. Time would just wash over us like stones in a brook. We wouldn't move. We wouldn't break down. We'd just smooth out and stay put here in St. Stephen.
Fortune of Wolves was written by Ryan Griffith. The series was produced by Big Noise Audio Collective and presented by Theatre New Brunswick. The show was directed by Ryan Griffith with help from Jillian Hansen. Recording, editing, and sound design by Matt Carter. Music for the series was created by Counting On Downstairs, with additional scoring by Matt Carter. To learn more about the series and the artists involved, visit tnb.nb.ca or look for the Big Noise Audio Collective on Facebook. This episode featured Kat Hall as the Chief Archivist, Jason McIntyre as Lowell, Kathy Mack as Mary, Jeremy Gilmer as Evan, Gilbert Boyce as Murray, Dylan Anthony as Kit, Annie Mulholland as Valerie, and Lisa Ann Ross as Kathleen. Next time on Fortune of Wolves.
They had a helicopter on him before he could touch the other side.
Stacy told you about Ian, eh? The security guard who went missing?
I see Rick Mercer on the television interviewing people from all walks of life across Canada. Is this what this is?
This whole river valley serves as a flight path for UFOs.
A man disappeared. A patient.
Lol is the bomb, motherfuckers! He's the fucking bomb!